Hello, everyone, and welcome to Poptail Weekly for January 26th, 2022. I am Liam, and as always, it is good to be here. I apologize for the late start. We're having a couple technical difficulties, but I think we've gotten through them, and I think we're good to go. And anyways, so we are going to take a look today at the newest product from Polar Night Studios in collaboration with Poptail. It is the Copernicus Legacy Interactive Audiobook. And this is something that's a little different. It is kind of like a game, but also like a book. Please hold, everyone. I will be back. We are having another technical difficulty. Give me just a moment. All right. Hello, everyone. I apologize again. We had an emergency in the kitchen. We are good. And I do want to thank you guys for bearing with me for just a quick moment. So we are taking a look at the Copernicus Legacy, which is an interactive audiobook from Wanderword. And this is a interesting thing. So it's not quite a game, and it is more of an audiobook. So let me read the description. I do want to talk a little bit about it because this is very interesting and has a lot of cool stuff behind it. So crack ciphers, solve mysteries, and search for clues to a great mystery, all in the interactive audiobook experience produced by Polar Night Studios, powered by Fabella, powered by Poptail, and in partnership with HarperCollins. So, major publisher. This is really cool stuff right here, and this is pretty exciting. So, let's read the description here. The Copernicus Legacy Interactive Audiobook is based on the work of best-selling author Tony Abbott. The story begins when Wade Kaplan receives a coded message from his uncle Henry moments before the old man's death. It is revealed that he died to protect the legacy of Copernicus, which relates to a scientific device that could change both the future and the past. This sets Wade off on a world-spanning journey together with his friends Daryl, Becca, and Lily to find the 12 historical relics that could unveil the great mystery. It is not a task without its dangers, as a ruthless shadow organization is following closely behind them. There are a lot of features. I'm not going to go over the full features list here, but I will tell you one really cool feature, and we will get to see that a little bit in this game, is at any time you can change the perspective. And I don't know of any, I mean, I'm sure there are games that do this, but I don't know of any sort of interactive audio medium that does this, that lets you swap to a different character's perspective. So if you prefer to see the story from someone else's perspective, you can do that. So that is pretty, pretty cool. Kevin is here. Hello, Kevin. Good to see you. And Tony Abbott has written a large number of books. I was going through his bibliography before we got on, and he's written the Danger Guys series, the Weird Zone series, the Haunting of Derek Stone series, Secrets of Droon, which apparently is his most famous series with over 40 books. Then there is also the Underworld series, the Copernicus Legacy, and he's won some awards. He's got the Golden Kite and Mystery Writers of America's Edgar Allan Poe Award. So very cool. So this is definitely a celebrated author, and it is very awesome that Polar Knight has a chance to work on such a cool project. And this is one that I'm actually really excited about. I knew about it for a while, but, you know, as goes the things with a lot of projects, you can't talk about them. And so, yeah, it is going to be fun to play. So I am looking forward to checking it out. So, as always, when we start a game or anything really, we use the invocation, which in this case is, it's not that. all right. So we're going to do, of course, mine is the Z word. So, Ziggy, start the Copernicus Legacy.
Welcome to the Copernicus Legacy. There are 4 chapters available. Select which chapter you would like to play.
Chapter 1.
Name the number of the chapter you would like to play.
Oh. 1.
Welcome to the mysterious world of the Copernicus Legacy, where math and magic become one. This is the first chapter of Book 1. The Forbidden Stone. An interactive audiobook production. Produced by Polar Knight Studio, powered by Fabella. Presented by Poptail. In this story, you will follow the journey of 4 unlikely heroes. When a guarded secret begins to unravel, they are set on a chase for hidden historical artifacts that could determine the fate of both the future and the past. To get more information about engaging with an interactive audiobook, say help. To hear your available options again, you can always say repeat. Also, you can restart the story by saying restart at any point. If you're ready to start the story, say begin. To start the story, say begin. To learn the basics on how to actively listen, say help.
Help.
You control the story with your voice. Listen up when you hear the following. After this sound, I provide options on how to handle different situations. For example, raise the shade and open drawer. I'll shape the story based on your response. Try saying begin to start the story. To hear the basics on how to actively listen once more, say help.
Begin. All right, here we go.
Wade Kaplan watched in terror as his priceless constellation map burst into flame. The moment its swirling silver ink and richly painted constellations caught fire, he bolted awake. The room was pitch black. There was no fire. Wade tilted his head towards the door between his room and his stepbrother Daryl's. From behind the open doorway came the faint sound of snoring. Wade relaxed. Surely, Daryl would have woken up if something was wrong. The first day of school vacation had hardly been restful, rushing around doing chores before his stepmom, Sarah, flew off on a business trip to South America. Her flight would leave early in the morning, and despite the hectic day, he and Daryl had promised to be up at the crack of dawn to see her off. Still, Wade felt the urge to check on his constellation map, to make sure it was all right. The room was too dark to see anything. Remember that you can always say repeat to hear your available options again, or say help to get more information. Wade needed to raise the window shades to let the light in. Try saying, raise the shades.
Raise the shades.
Wade pushed the sheets aside. Then, he walked to the window and quietly raised the shades. It was a nearly moonless night, and stars were sprinkled thickly across the velvety black. His house in the hills, some miles from the Austin City lights, usually meant a vivid night sky, and tonight was no exception.
All right.
To check his constellation map, Wade needed to open his desk drawer. Try saying, open drawer.
Open drawer. So I like how this kind of gets you in, like if you're new to this whole thing.
Wade drew out a leather satchel the size of a large paperback. Not only had it not burned, but it was cool to the touch. His skin tingled when he opened it. The map was a gift for his 7th birthday from a dear friend of his father's, a man he'd come to know as Uncle Henry. Engraved and hand-painted in the early 16th century, the artifact was a work of art, science, and history combined. Why had he just dreamed of its destruction? Wade unfolded the map carefully. It had 4 defining details that stood out to him. Look at 3 details on the map to continue with the story.
Okay.
The 4 defining details are the yellow parchment, the silver ink, a bearded man, and lastly, the zodiac signs. Name which detail you want Wade to look at.
The zodiac signs.
Zodiac signs started as a form of divination in ancient civilizations. They helped us understand the movement of celestial bodies and marked the changing of the season. You got 2 details left to look at on the map. Name a detail you want to look at. Or say describe object to hear the object description once more.
The bearded man.
The bearded man depicted on the map was the Greek astronomer Ptolemy. He was born somewhere around the start of the 1st century and lived until he was 70 years old. You got 1 detail left to look at on the map.
So we have the parchment.
Name
and
a detail
ink.
You want to look at. Or say describe object to hear the object description once more.
The ink.
It's unclear what type of ink that has been used to draw these stars.
I like that
a
I just said ink and not the silver ink.
A lot of dangerous substances were used to make colors back in the day.
So that's cool.
For example, mercury, also known as quicksilver. It poisoned those who worked with it.
Ooh.
Best not to smell the map too closely. That's great. You've really started to get the hang of this.
All right.
Wade turned the star map around until it matched the arrangement of constellations outside his window. Then, as if it had waited for him simply to look up, a meteor slid slowly across the dark and sparkled as it passed. Looking up at the sky, Wade studied the 2 constellations that the comet passed over. One looked like a cross. The other was formed by a long string of stars with a small cluster at the end. Wade looked at the constellation map again. Based on the north-facing position of the window, the 2 constellations should have been located on the center of the map. There were 3 star groups huddled together in the middle of the chart. Each one was represented in the form of a brightly painted animal. A bear, a green dragon, and a flying swan. 2 of these creatures had to be based on the constellations Wade had seen in the sky, namely, the cross and the string with a cluster at its tail. Remember, you can look at any part of a historical object. Say, look at, followed by the detail you want to investigate. In this case, it will be either. Look at bear, look at dragon, or look at swan.
Look at swan.
This was Cygnus, Latinized Greek for swan. Deneb, the brightest star among all constellations, laid at the tail. The wings fanned out with a great span width. Congratulations. The swan matches one of the constellations that the comet passed through. Keep examining the map to discover the other one.
So you have a bear and a dragon.
Keep examining the map to find the 2nd constellation that the comet passed through. Which constellation should Wade look at next?
The bear.
This was Ursa Minor, also known as Little Bear. 4 large stars outlined its body, with a long tail flicking away from the end. Polaris, the North Pole star, laid at the edge of the bear's tail. It helped sailors to safely navigate the seas. Wade looked closer at the constellation. He saw that it was not one of the star groups that the comet flew over. Keep examining the map to find the 2nd constellation that the comet passed through. Which constellation should Wade look at next?
The dragon.
This was Draco, Latin for dragon. The serpent-like creature stretched in a long and curved line across the sky. The painted head contained 4 bright and golden stars. A coiled tongue protruded from its toothy maw, hissing at Lyra and Hercules, its neighboring star groups. Fantastic. You found the 2nd constellation that the comet flew across.
Right through Draco and Cygnus.
The bad kids from Harry Potter.
Daryl, did you see it?
Daryl staggered over, rubbing his eyes.
The sky. Yeah, I saw it yesterday too. What time is it? Is the world ending? Answer the 2nd question first.
Wade laughed.
About midnight. I just saw a meteor. They're actually much more common than people think.
Wade said, pointing to the chart, then the sky.
That's Cepheus. See, it's a kind of box with a pointed hat on top. And there's one of Pegasus's legs. Stars are like messages, from way out there, to us down here. If only we could read the code.
Daryl squinted at the sky.
I don't really see them, but I believe you, which is part of the stepbrother code. I also believe I need to sleep or I'll die.
Uncle Henry wrote me once, and said, the sky is where math and magic become one. Isn't that cool?
I'm becoming one with my bed.
Tomorrow we'll go to the campus observatory. You have to see it.
It's already tomorrow, and I'm already asleep.
Daryl said, then turned from the doorway.
But seriously, bro, very cool, I get it.
In three strides he was on his bed, where he snored exaggeratedly. He went quiet only moments later, and was amazingly asleep. Wade watched a minute longer. Where meth and magic become one. He felt that too. He felt it like he felt his own heartbeat. Since the beginning of time, people had read whole stories in the sky, finding the past, present, and future in the seeming arrangement of star to star.
Thanks again, Uncle Henry.
Wade had no idea at the time, but in the coming days, both he and Daryl would measure their lives as happening before, and after, that starry night. That was the beginning of your very own version of this story. There haven't been many branching paths yet, but now. You've reached the first fork in the road.
Ooh.
Daryl has entered the story. You can choose if you want to be Wade or Daryl from now on.
Oh, that's cool.
We'll call them viewpoint characters for the sake of this interactive audiobook, because they offer a unique perspective on the events of the story. They also have their own way of handling different situations, giving you more options to choose from when driving the story. You can switch characters at any time, by saying switch character. Would you like to choose Wade or Daryl?
Wade.
Continuing
the story. I kind of want to stick with Wade for this one.
Wade's father was Dr. Roald Kaplan, a professor of astrophysics at the University of Texas in Austin, and Painter Hall was the home of an 80-year-old observatory housing. It was one of the largest telescopes that operated by an intricate system of cranks and pulleys. The two boys were walking to the observatory from Roald's office. They shuffled on their feet to keep warm in the morning chill. It being spring break, Wade looked forward to 9 days of reading astronomy textbooks and 9 nights of studying stars from the university's observatory. He was pretty sure that to Daryl, vacation meant thrashing his Stratocaster at maximum volume. Daryl had been trying to form a band for months with no luck. Wade felt there were two reasons for that. First, Daryl wanted to call his band the Simpletones, which was supposed to be ironic but maybe wasn't. And second, he only wanted to play surf punk, which Wade was pretty sure was not a thing. Wade started thinking about different solutions to Daryl's dilemma. He could either start a one-man band, join the school orchestra, or practice the guitar more.
Start a one-man band.
Hey, Daryl. I might have a solution to your band problem.
I'm all ears.
Why don't you start a one-man band? That way you can experiment with different sounds all you want.
I only know how to play the guitar. I would have to learn how to play all the other instruments.
Right, I didn't think about that.
Oh.
Wade and Daryl finally arrived at the Painter Hall Observatory, where Wade turned to his stepbrother.
Dad gave you the key.
Which I gave to you.
When?
Before you lost it.
I couldn't lose the key because I saw Dad give it to you, in his office. You know, when he dropped us off to run Sarah to the airport.
Wade had long had a thing for the old Painter Hall telescope, ever since his father first brought him into that round room. It was there he learned to locate the planets and constellations. It was in that observatory that he read the myths that lay behind their exotic names. It was there he'd come to appreciate his own tiny place in the vast cosmos of space. Sometimes, Wade felt that he invented neurotic worrying, but he felt secure within the walls of the observatory. Here, he could focus on things with logical explanations. He knew the university campus like the back of his hand. Perhaps he could have quickly run to his father's office and looked for a spare key. He could also have checked his pockets once more and told Daryl to do the same. Or, he could just have tried the door to see if it was already unlocked. To choose one of these options, say, try the door, check pockets, or search office.
Try the door. I'm sure it's locked, but Gotta try it.
The door clicked open and the two boys stepped inside the old observatory.
Well, there you
go. The atmosphere of the large room washed over them like a wave of the past. Daryl whistled.
You weren't kidding. Steampunk.
The famous Painter Hall telescope was centered directly below a huge copper dome. It was a 12-foot-long iron tube built in 1933, poised on a brick platform and meticulously balanced by a giant weight, making it easily maneuverable into any position. Wade explained that the scope's lens measured a mere 9 inches across, compared to the McDonald Observatory scope, whose mirror was 36 feet across.
Wow.
Wade loved the places where science and history crisscrossed.
What awesome stuff can it do?
Not much in the daytime, but we'll come back tonight for some real stargazing. Don't mess with anything until I find the operating instructions. You'll love the way it swings around with just a touch.
Wade sat down at a small desk near the door. While searching for the telescope's operating manual, he moved the mouse of his father's computer. The screen saver flickered away, and an email popped up.
Oh.
He noticed the sender's name. Heinrich Vogel. The message was completely unreadable.
This looks like some sort of code.
The door squeaked open.
So, there you are.
Wade shot up from the desk the moment his father entered the observatory. The man was tall and handsome, behind sunglasses and a dark, well-trimmed beard.
Sarah is safely off on her flight to Bolivia. Thanks for hanging out here, while we did our last minute zipping around. What are you guys up to?
Dad, I'm sorry, but I saw your computer screen by accident. I know I shouldn't have read the email, but I saw it and... What's going on? It's from Uncle Henry, but it looks like code.
Is Uncle Henry a spy?
Dr. Kaplan paused for a long moment. His smile faded away. He leaned over Wade and tapped the keyboard. The email printed out on a nearby printer. Then he deleted the message and shut the computer off.
Not here. Not now.
You've reached the halfway mark of this chapter.
Oh.
Completing various puzzles and challenges will award you with story keys.
Okay.
A story key can be used to skip part of a puzzle. Each individual key in a chapter can only be earned once. Use them carefully, because they can't be taken back. Here, have a story key for getting this far.
Right.
At least you've gotten Daryl and Wade out of bed. This is not to be taken for granted, considering it's the first day of their vacation. You decided to have Wade check if the door was unlocked. Good thinking. You get a story key.
Hey!
That's all for now. Let's move on with the story. Say proceed to keep listening.
Proceed.
Back at Wade and Daryl's
home. This is really interesting.
Lily Kaplan was supposed to be on vacation in Paris, with her parents and her friend Becca. However, at the last minute, Lily's parents had gotten the flu.
Uh-oh.
Instead of France, she and her friend would stay with her uncle, Dr. Roald Kaplan, and her two cousins. No one was home when they arrived. They hid from the sun, under a roof that hung over the front door. The two girls complimented each other in just about every way, but at the same time, Lily and Becca couldn't be more different. Lily was outspoken and social, while Becca was quiet and withdrawn. Lily wore clothes that she had stylishly slashed holes into, while Becca had a wardrobe full of plain jeans and t-shirts from teen book festivals. Lily had her phone constantly glued to her hand, while Becca often carried a book with her. It's time to switch viewpoint characters again. To choose a character, say Becca, or Lily.
Lily.
Continuing the story.
All right, so we get to swap over to another character.
Lily was still disappointed that she could not go to Paris. She had saved up a lot of money to go shopping in the fashion capital of the world. Lily snapped a selfie with her phone and began posting it on Instagram.
Oh.
She used the account to document her travels. The key to a good post, as far as she was concerned, was finding the perfect hashtag. She could go for either hashtag vacay, goodbye Paris, or big disappointment.
Big disappointment.
She grumbled while she typed. Paris had been a dream of hers for a long time. After a while, Dr. Kaplan pulled up to the driveway and rolled down the car window.
Lily, Becca, this is a surprise.
Lily strolled out from under the overhang to the car and said,
Did you talk to my dad? He said he was going to call you and let you know that he was dropping us here for the week.
Dr. Kaplan frowned. He fished out his cell phone and tapped it several times.
It must have run out of batteries. Forgive me. I didn't get his message.
He got out of the car and hugged both girls.
Well, we're glad to have you visit. Come on in.
They all piled inside, where Dr. Kaplan began to pace around the living room.
Dad? The email?
I need your celestial map. The one Uncle Henry gave you when you were 7.
Wade blinked.
Really? Why?
You'll see.
5 minutes later, they were all sitting around the dining table with the celestial map spread out on its surface. Becca leaned over it, her eyes glowing.
Wade, this is so gorgeous. Wow.
Dr. Kaplan took a deep breath.
First, we have the email.
He produced the printed email from his blazer pocket, then carefully traced his fingers over the letters, bordering Wade's star map.
Heinrich told me this alphabet was one part of a cipher, a code of his own invention. He's never asked me to use the code until today.
Are you saying that the cipher on the map will decode the email?
Wade's father nodded. Now, it was time to study the map for clues.
Ooh, okay.
Listen closely, and remember that you can use your story keys to skip parts of the puzzle. To skip, say story key. The map painted a beautiful picture of the constellations in the night sky. Evenly spaced around the map's edge was a sequence of letters, forming an incomplete alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
A small message was printed on the back. Name which detail you want Lily to look at.
Message.
The message reads, "Happy birthday, Wade." Wade says something about it being a gift from Henry. Search the map for clues by naming a detail you want to look at. Or say describe object to hear the map description again.
Letters.
Not all the letters are there. If it's a standard substitution code, it needs all 26 letters.
Everyone looked at her.
Substitution code. Putting aside for a moment what substitution codes even are. How do you know about them?
Becca blushed a little.
I read a lot. Last summer, I read all the Sherlock Holmes stories. You know what I mean, right, Dr. Kaplan?
Roald smiled.
I do. Sherlock Holmes solves substitution codes in several of the stories. When we asked Heinrich about the missing letters, he just winked and slyly tapped the side of his nose. We pressed him about what he meant, and he said, "When things are missing, you look for them. You're all pretty brainy, so the first step for us is, what letters are missing?"
Starting alphabetically from C and ending with G, which letter is missing from the following C, D, F, and G?
E.
Good.
Roald wrote the letter down and added the last remaining letters that were missing from the alphabet, A, B, L, N, R, S, T, and U.
9 letters. The cipher begins as a fairly simple Caesar code. A substitution code originated a couple of thousand years ago by Julius Caesar for his private letters.
Oh.
Heinrich was a student of ciphers, and he modified this in his own way. So, the letters, not on the map, form a secret word or phrase. You unscramble the missing letters to find the words, then put them at the beginning of the alphabet to make the full 26 letters again.
Mm-hmm.
9 letters could spell a lot of words.
But they should somehow be familiar to the person for whom the code is intended.
Becca nodded.
Let's think. Henry is German. One of the words could be blau. That's German for blue.
What word can you form with the remaining letters? E, R, N, S, and T. Try using as many letters as possible. To hear the letters again, say repeat.
Repeat.
You are solving an anagram based on the letters E, R, N, S, and T. Try forming a word using as many of these letters as possible.
Stern.
Blau Stern. That's blue star in German.
Blau Stern was the name of the cafe in Berlin where we met after classes. Good work, everyone. What we do now is take the secret phrase and add it to the beginning of the incomplete alphabet to make a full 26 letters.
Then we arrange the normal ABC alphabet under it.
not quite. Instead of a second alphabet, Heinrich added an extra step. We need a number key. We have to know how many letters we count from the coded letter to find the proper letter for the substitution.
Is there a number on the map? Maybe we already have the number key, but it's hidden on Wade's chart.
Dr. Kaplan stood and spread his hands out on either side of the map, squinting down at it.
That is smart, but there are hundreds of numbers on the map. Coordinates, degrees, I can't help but feel that Uncle Henry would point to the number directly with a specific clue.
Good job. You found a word with all of the letters. Here is a story key as a reward.
Hey, I got a key.
A number is needed to complete the cipher. Study the map again to search for a number key. You can either look at the constellations, the letters, or the message.
Message.
The message reads, "Happy birthday, Wade." The words birth and day are joined by a hyphen. Wade said his birthday is October 6th. A birthday is a date. The month of January comes first in a calendar year. May is 5th. Which number does October count as? Add that number with 6, the day Wade is born.
10.
Yes, if you count the months as numbers, October would be 10. If you add that number with 6, you get 16. The answer was 16. Lily counted 16 letters from each letter of the first two words of the coded message. The result was just as incomprehensible.
Nope.
Daryl tried to pronounce it.
Mesu, Apai, Ayak.
Lily turned to Roald.
This isn't a language, is it?
No, we must have gotten the substitution wrong.
No other part of the map has anything to do with numbers. Are there any other clues you can find in the message? It reads, "Happy birthday, Wade." The words birth and day are joined by a small dash, or a hyphen. Could the message result in any other number than 16?
I don't know. Could it?
The words birth and day are joined by a small dash, or a hyphen. Could the message result in any other number than 16?
2?
The words birth and day are joined by a small dash, or a hyphen. Could the message result in any other number than 16?
Yes. Are you asking me?
If you think about it, a dash or hyphen looks something like a minus sign. What number could the message result in, other than 16?
4.
Roald scribbled on Daryl's pad for the next few minutes.
If we're right about this decryption code, where the email message uses the letter B, it really represents S, and so forth down the line. So when the whole message is translated.
He scratched away on the pad for several more minutes, then dropped his pencil with a concerned look on his face. His voice wavered slightly when he read the decoded message out loud.
The Kraken devours us. Strange tragedies will now begin. Protect the Magister's legacy. Find the 12 relics. You are the last.
How did your uncle know yesterday about the tragedies they're talking about this morning?
What tragedies?
The things going on all over. It's been on the net all morning. Look.
Lily opened a news page on her tablet and scrolled down. There was a photo of a collapsed building in the center of Rio de Janeiro, in Brazil. After that, there were several articles about an oil tanker that sank in the Mediterranean.
It's pretty weird, isn't it, that they both happened at kind of the same time as his message? They're tragedies, right?
Lily looked at the others, passing her gaze slowly from one person to the next.
I think they are.
Call Uncle Henry now and find out what he means.
Dr. Kaplan glanced at his watch.
All right, he should be home.
Roald went into the living room and keyed Henry's number into the home phone. He put it on speaker and set it on the coffee table. A woman answered.
Yeah?
Hello. I would like to speak to Herr Heinrich Vogel, please. It's urgent.
Nein. No. No, Herr Vogel. I am Frau Munk. Housekeeper.
Can you please give Dr. Vogel a message?
No message.
It's short. Please tell him to call me. My name is...
Herr Vogel, no cool.
Ooh.
You have completed chapter 1. Well done. A great secret has begun to unravel. Wade and his friends are unaware of it, but each of them will play an important role in events to come. Do you want to continue to chapter 2?
No.
Do you want to continue to chapter 2?
No. It's like it really wants me to.
Do you want to continue to chapter 2?
No. The game's like, why would you do anything else? You know you want to continue.
Do you want to continue to chapter 2?
No. Yeah, it's like...
Okay.
All right, there we go.
Thank you for actively listening to The Copernicus Legacy.
So...
Interactive audiobook by Poptech.
That was very interesting.
If you enjoyed this audiobook, okay, please consider leaving us a review at the store page.
I have done that. Hopefully...
Welcome to The Copernicus Legacy.
Whoa.
There are 4 chapters available.
Ziggy, stop.
Select... Thank you for actively listening to The Copernicus Legacy.
Ziggy, stop. Okay. So... that is the Copernicus Legacy. That is chapter 1. That is as far as we're going to go today. Unfortunately, you can, however, play it for yourself. And if you want to play chapters 2 through 4, it is a one-time payment that you can make either after the first chapter or at the main screen. I will tell you that this is available for both Google and Echo. So if you have either of those devices, you can use them and to play this. So certainly it's available across devices. So if you've got an Android phone or whatever, you can play right on your phone, which is really cool. And I believe more and more games are coming over to Android. I don't know which one of the Polar Night Studio games are available, but Kevin says really enjoyed it. You know, I did too. I know it is a kid's, more of a children's book. I would... venture to say maybe young adult. It's certainly not, I would say, not a children's book in the sense of for young children, but I would say a teen read. And I find it really interesting. I have actually never read the book, so I'm curious if anyone else has. If you have, drop a comment and let me know. I think it's super fascinating, though, and I really want to see where things go. I know you do, too. Unfortunately, I can't show you on here, so you'll unfortunately have to play it for yourself, but it's as simple as telling your smart device to play the Copernicus Legacy. So you can play it on your Echo or on your Google. So that's pretty cool. So that will conclude Poptail Weekly for today. Thanks for sticking with me. I know we had a bumpy start, but we got through it and it went well. I will be back next week. I'm not sure what we're playing yet. I have a few ideas, but need to see what's going to be the best option. But go play this game. I think it's really cool. If you enjoy it, please consider purchasing the other chapters. It's a one-time payment, and you get 2 through 4. And hopefully we will get more books in the series, because there is a lot. There's 4 books, I believe, in the series, plus like 2 side books. So I would definitely love to see more of this. What's the price? I believe it is $5.99 without Prime. If you have Prime, I believe it's $1.20 off, I think. I would have to check my receipt. But I purchased it today, and I believe it was $4.80 with Prime. That's the one thing, too. If you guys didn't know, if you have Prime, apparently in-skill purchases are like... either 10 or 20% off. I think 10%. I would have to go check. But there is a discount for in-skill purchases, which is always cool. So worth checking out, especially if you like that sort of thing. One of the cool features is the ability to switch perspectives. So, you know, you could play Chapter 1 again and maybe switch back over to Wade. And maybe he would have different solutions. I know the game kind of nudges us in which direction to go, but I wonder if you can take your own direction. So if you play, let me know what you do. Let me know what direction you took and if the puzzles were any different. But for now, I do want to thank you guys for being here. I will be back next week with more great stuff. Before I go, I want to remind you that we are on social media, Poptail Social. We are on Facebook at Poptail. We are on YouTube. Subscribe to us over there and don't miss a moment of all the stuff that we have for you. It's more than just Poptail Weekly. There is a lot more stuff going on the Poptail channel. And I look forward to seeing you all next week. So until next week, thanks for watching. Good night and goodbye.